people. We are your family. We are your people. And Lord, it is awesome to know you. And Lord, if we don't get one more bit of food, one more bit of sunshine, one more bit of water, the truth is you've been good to us. And Lord, we're so grateful that if we laid our heads down tonight, Lord, and we woke up tomorrow in heaven, you have given us an awesome life. Even with all the pain, all the suffering, all the whatevers, compared to what's in store, and compared to how bad it could have been, you've been good to us. Lord, bless now your word to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. All right, here's the deal. Grab your Bibles and turn to two portions of Scripture this morning. I'm going to ask all of you to be serious students of the Bible today. Number one, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. I'm going to ask you to keep your finger there. Go to John chapter 14. John 14. And go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and John chapter 14. The title of the message that I've been given today is The Rapture and Your Future. The Rapture and Your Future. This is part of the Israel Bible Prophecy Conference hosted by Dr. David Hawking. We're blessed to be a part of it. And when I think about the rapture and your future, let me put it to you this way. If you are not a Christian, then you don't even know what the rapture is about. And thus, that would mean that you have no future. You've got to have the rapture in your life as a believer to have an exciting future. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, in your note-taking, get this down, understand it. The Bible's very clear. Number one is that the second coming of Jesus Christ is the Lord's literal bodily return to planet Earth. In fact, if you come back on Sundays, we happen to be going through Luke chapter 21, talking about that very thing now. The bodily return of Jesus Christ to Earth, where He establishes His kingdom upon the earth, seated upon the throne of David. It's called the second coming. Christ returns to Israel, which is cool because you got to have an Israel for Christ to return to. Okay, think about that. The reason why the world, they don't even understand this. The reason why the world is anti-Semitic today and the world is becoming more hostile against Jewish people and specifically against the state of Israel, little do they know that their hostility is actually directed against and toward Christ Himself. Because the Bible declares, and the Bible's never been wrong, it will never be wrong, that Jesus, when He comes back to Jerusalem, and He comes back to the nation of Israel to establish the throne of David. That's the second coming. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the rapture. The rapture is something where Christ does not return to earth. The Bible says that Christ will appear in the atmosphere. And He will be around the atmosphere long enough to receive unto Himself the bride of Christ, the church. And we'll be looking at that today. Without that in your life, my friend, then listen, you've got a bleak future for sure. But with that in your life as a Christian, the future is very promising for us. Unfortunately, many churches today, because the pastors are products, byproducts, I should say, of seminaries and Bible colleges that are no longer teaching accurate eschatology, Bible prophecy, and either out of ignorance or out of them simply not being taught or fear, I don't know, they don't talk about the imminent return of Jesus Christ. This morning you're going to see that the doctrine of the imminent return of Christ is something that the very, very first believers, the apostles themselves, held to. And that for 21 centuries to this moment, every age of believers are to be looking for and have longed for the imminent return of Christ. Meaning that the rapture declares, we know from Scripture, there's no warning. It will just happen. It will be sudden, as we'll hear today. It will be something that will come upon in an hour that you do not think. Where the second coming has tremendous amounts of warnings given. Things that you could watch being, as it were, ticked off on a checklist of things that would happen before that second coming takes place. So here we go. Let's read this one first. It's the last verse we turn to. It's the first one we read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Verse 13. Paul the Apostle writes to the church at Thessalonica. And it's amazing to me that he taught them two key things. When you read the first Thessalonian letter, Paul taught them two things. Brand new believers. He shows up into town. He starts preaching. They get saved. And he's there for about 6 to 8 weeks before he leaves. While he's there, he gives them the doctrine of their salvation being secure in Christ. How many people today think that their salvation is secure in Christ? People want to debate it and worry about it. Well, I know you guys do, but I'm glad you do, by the way. But so many people today don't know that. And then the second thing is that he gives them the doctrine of the imminent return of Christ. And here it is right here. You got it in your lap. It's 2,000 years old. Get your pen ready, because I'm going to say circle that. It will matter to you. Verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant. The word, you ought to circle that. Ignorant means uninformed, uneducated. Don't be uneducated about something, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. It's a reference to the earthly body. It doesn't mean that they're sleeping. It means that the body looks like it's sleeping when it's dead. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe, I don't know, do we? That Jesus died and rose again from the dead? Amen. Even so, God will bring with him. Notice that. Those who have died are with Christ. God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we, circle the word we. That's amazing. Paul is expecting to be raptured in his lifetime. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those, the dead, who are asleep or dead, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's two English words that make up the word harpazo, or you know the word rapture. Together with them, notice, them, we, those, them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now turn to John chapter 14. Jesus, while you're turning there, John chapter 14, it's awesome to realize that John 14, those first three verses, Jesus himself introduces the doctrine of the rapture of the believers. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Boy, that's pretty gutsy, huh? You believe in God? Believe also, you trust God, trust me. Why'd he say that? Because he's God. Reading on. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Everybody, get your finger ready. Warm it up. Where's Jesus right now? Point. You can point. People, take your finger out. Point up. Okay, if you're pointing here, you'll be forgiven for that. That's good. Okay, if you go to the children's ministry, they go like this. But right now we're in here. So go like this. Okay? Some of you don't know. Okay, you better stay for the whole class. You need this very badly. Ushers, lock the doors. Very, very important. The rapture in your future. You need to know this. It's biblical. You need to know this. Number one, the rapture. Point number one is this. It's a certainty, my friend, that you can bank on. The rapture. You can bank on it. It's a certainty. Why? Why is it a certainty? If people are attacking it, how can you say that it's a certainty? Oh, we'll answer that in a minute. It is a certainty. Number one, it is this. Mark it. It's because it's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches it. Understand, Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans 13, 11 says this. Knowing the time, that it is now high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. I want to preface the verses I'm going to give you with that one right there. Romans 13, 11. Paul the Apostle says, concerning your salvation, it is nearer, it's closer than it ever has been before. First of all, he wrote that 2,000 years ago to the church at Rome. So how close are we today? Answer, really close. 2,000 years closer. See, what does that mean, though? I mean, weren't we saved? I mean, before the eyes of God, we understand in Scripture, book of Ephesians chapter 1, that when Jesus died on the cross, we were saved. But in the mind of God, from the foundations of the earth were ever laid, God knows that when Christ died on the cross, and those who would trust in him, I understand that, God thinks in the infinite. God is eternal, always. But in a real way, my friend, your salvation was actually purchased at the cross. We all agree with that. Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says, to purchase for us our salvation. But that verse in Romans says that, in a sense, our salvation is going to arrive as well. That's interesting. See, wait a minute. Am I saved or not saved? Oh, you're saved. Are you trusting Jesus to get you to heaven? Are you understanding that it's not by any works of your own righteousness that you're going to get there? Do you understand that you can't do anything to earn God's favor? Listen, you are solely leaning upon Jesus Christ and His merits, His offering, His sacrifice. You lean to Him completely, and you come just like that little boy that had his loaves and fish. He came, and they're there, but listen, it can't meet the job. It can't meet the need. You and I have got a little good works, or a little good of this, and a little good of that, and it can't get us to heaven. The Bible says we are saved by the grace of God and our faith in Christ, and that faith alone will get us into the kingdom of God. It's not the faith even that actually gets us there. It's putting our rest, hope, and faith and trust in the one who can. It's absolutely awesome. And you think about that. I know it's humbling. I know it's rather insulting to somebody who's thinking, I can do this on my own. But if you just keep trying real hard, you'll find out what we've found out. You can't get there from here. That's why Jesus came and died. And so that verse says we are now, it's time to wake up, because we are nearer now to our salvation than when we first believed. The ultimate culmination of our salvation, my friend, will be, now watch this, it will be either A, if you drop dead today, if you're a believer today and you drop dead, then your salvation is absolutely, totally complete. Yes, you are saved. Remember when the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me? Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now, what if that guy would have hung on that cross for another 3 months or 3 years? Does he get more saved for hanging on the cross, that thief? Nope. He's just as saved the moment he believes as if he were to live 20 years. When did you get saved? Whatever day, whatever year, you got it marked in your head. Are you more saved now than you were the moment you came to Christ? No. You're not more saved. It's like a woman. You're pregnant or you're not pregnant. You're not. But look, I'm more pregnant now. I'm more pregnant. No, you're not more pregnant. You're showing, but you have been just as pregnant the moment conception happened than in the ninth month. The evidence is just huge. Still the same pregnancy, still just as pregnant. Pretty amazing. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, imagine this. Your salvation, every morning you get up, you're going to go to bed tonight? By the grace of God, we will go to bed tonight. Think about it. By the grace of God, we'll make it home tonight. Tonight. Yes, it's a long service. No. By the grace of God, we'll get up tomorrow. You'll be one day closer to you receiving your salvation. You could die, or the rapture could happen. When the rapture happens, salvation is complete. Oh, you're saved, but now you get to enjoy the fruits of it. You get to enjoy the reality of it. So Paul says, watch this. Jesus said it this way, because the Bible teaches it. Jesus said in Matthew 24:42, concerning his return, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. The doctrine of imminency. I could come at any time. You say, I wonder what that means. There are people today reading Matthew 24:42. What does that mean? It means, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So watch. Mark 13:33, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Man, think about that. The whole teaching of Jesus' return. You heard Paul say a moment ago, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Paul and every generation for 21 centuries have been a group of believers that are expecting the Lord's return. And if you would have been here this weekend to hear the incredible documentation of ancient believers, of St. Polycarp himself saying the Lord is coming at any time. Paul the Apostle says, I'm looking for his return. Awesome. Amazing. The question throughout this day is, do you know Jesus Christ? And are you one who's living your life with the concept, the understanding, and the doctrine under your belt and from your Bible that Christ could return? Because the Bible teaches it. A second thing is this, Jesus Christ talked about it. He said it. He spoke it. We know this, Luke chapter 21, verse 34. I'm only giving you a couple of verses because we don't have the time. The Bible is replete with scriptures, and especially, of course, Jesus speaking about it. In Luke 21:34, Jesus says, "Be careful, because your hearts could be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of this life." Wow. The anxieties of this life, the cares of this world, pulling fellowship away from you, pulling the Bible away from you, pulling walking with Jesus away from you. Jesus says, "Watch out." And that day close in upon you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Listen, verse 36, next verse. "Be always on the watch and pray that you may escape all that is about to happen, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Isn't it awesome? Jesus says in the last days it's going to get tough, and there's bad things coming, and oh no, and watch out. But here's the deal. Pray that you'll escape the things that are coming. That's good news. That's tremendous news. I read it a moment ago. I'll read it again. John 14:3. John 14:3, Jesus says, "If I go," and he did, by the way, "to prepare a place for you," and he did do that, "he will come again," he said, so he will, "and receive us to himself," that's good news, "that where I am, there you may be also." Some people say, no, Christ is going to come back. Watch me, because I don't know how to say it with English. I'll use my hands. Some people say, no, he's going to come, and you're going to kind of go up maybe 500 feet, could be 1,000 feet. You might even go up maybe a couple thousand feet, and you're going to meet him and then come back down with him. It's good. It could be like this. Whoop. Okay. Really? Yeah, we believe that. Why do you believe that? When Jesus says, "I go to my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you." Where? You guys, if you're a freshman in a class of logic, you have to answer if you agree with it or not. Where did Jesus go? He went to the Father's house. And what's he doing there? He's preparing a place. What for? Because he's going to come again and take you to the place that he's been preparing. Where's that? In the Father's house. Who's going there? We are. How are we going to get there? He's coming to get us. That's basic. Little kids know this stuff. It's amazing. If you don't believe that, you've got to cut John chapter 14 out of your Bible. Don't do it. You get in big trouble. You'd have to remove it from the Bible. Jesus said it himself. "I'm coming back. I'm going to take you to where I've been." And it's awesome. 6 days, the Lord makes everything in this incredible universe. And he's been up there 2,000 years building you a house. 2,000 year house project, Jesus. Can you imagine? I don't know. I can't even imagine that. It's too big. It's amazing. Jesus said it again, Revelation 13:10. Revelation 13:10. "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour that will come upon the entire world to test those who dwell on the earth." A global test. A global time of judgment. And Jesus says, "I'm going to keep you from it." That generation that will see the Lord's rapture, his return in the atmosphere. Also this, it's a certainty, my friend, because of what the apostles looked for. It's not only what the Bible teaches, it's what Jesus said and the apostles looked for. But what do we mean when we say the apostles looked for the return of Jesus regarding the rapture? Well, understand it this way. I read a moment ago Paul's statements regarding his statement, that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. But check this out. I'll give you this verse a couple of times today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. You say, what's the purpose of the rapture? There's many purposes for the rapture, but one of them that you and I are very, very interested in is that we would escape the wrath of God. Now, let me tell you this. We are not escape artists. Let me qualify that. We're not escape artists. There are, on the average, according to Voices of the Martyrs, there's some 300,000 Christians a year die worldwide for their faith in Jesus. They're persecuted to death as martyrs. 300,000 a year around the world. That number is increasing, by the way, every year. I am not saying that we're going to escape martyrdom. We could be martyred today, you guys. A bunch of maniacs could come in here with machine guns. They could kill us. That has nothing to do with the tribulation period. That has nothing to do with those 7 years. Persecution happens. It's going to happen. It's going to increase. Martyrdom is going to take place. It's not what I'm talking about. The 7-year tribulation period involves the nation of Israel and believers who come to faith during that period of time called the tribulation saints. But it's also God's wrath and judgment that's poured out upon the earth. Keeping that in mind, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10 says, "Wait for his son from heaven, whom God raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." My friends, you go study and find out what that means. I'll just tell you right now, and then you can chew on it. Here's the deal. It means God's rolling up his sleeves, and he's going to give the earth what it deserves. And before he delivers the judgments referred to in the Bible, both Old Testament and New, he's going to send his son to get his bride, the church, off of this earth. And when it says deliver us from the wrath to come, make no mistake about it. That does not mean hell. Somebody might say, well, maybe that means hell. Jesus delivers us from hell. That's not the word. It doesn't fit. It's wrong application. The word actually means God's vengeance, God's discipline, God's judgment. Now, here's the amazing thing. You and I are believers in Jesus Christ. And you and I escaped. You and I have already escaped judgment, didn't we? When Jesus went to the cross, by the way, those of you who are not Christians this morning, listen, tune in now. The Bible says Jesus went to the cross and died there for our sins in our place. He received the judgment, the wrath of God that was destined. There, imagine a bomb, and on the bomb it said, "Jack." This is Jack's judgment. Instead of that bomb landing on me, an eternal separation from God and judgment for all of my sins, the Bible says that Jesus Christ took that hit for me on the cross and for you. And listen, here's the amazing thing. He did that, the Bible says, for the sins of the entire world. He already paid for your sins. My friend, listen. Why would you miss heaven? Why would you miss eternity? Why would you miss the rapture when Jesus already paid the price? It would only be your silly, ridiculous unbelief and arrogance and pride that would keep you from accepting that free pass. Don't be like that. He's done it all for you. And he wants you in heaven with him. That wrath that God is going to pour out in the tribulation period, you can read all about it in Revelation chapter 6 all the way through to chapter 19. One horrific event after another, God's wrath upon the earth. The Bible says you're going to be spared from that. The believers in that time, the church, I should say, will be raptured out before the wrath comes, says the Bible. Now watch this. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 19. By the way, there's 5 chapters. There's 5 exhortations. Chapter 2, 19 says, "For what is our hope? What is our joy? Our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Chapter 3, verse 12. "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in your love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that we may establish your, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Can you mark down there, underline all his saints? Do you know who those people are? You know. You really do. You've already read it. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which is the next verse we're going to read, that those who died, he's bringing with them. My mom's up there right now. Her body's in Hawaii right now. My sister's up there with the Lord right now, but her body's in Hawaii right now. My dad, he's up there with the Lord right now, and his body's in South Dakota. Do you know anybody who died trusting in Jesus? Their bodies may be here somewhere. You see, what if he was eaten by a shark? The particles are somewhere. Okay, it's still dust. It's just wet dust if they got bit by a shark. Shark bit him, killed him, potted him out, and just went. Hey, when God resurrects, that guy didn't cease to exist. He's just in a lot of pieces. And there's no difference from getting eaten by a shark and dissolving in the ocean versus laying in the grave for 40 years and turning to dust. Same difference. The awesome power of our God is going to say, Jack, come forth! Or the trumpet blows, or they ain't right. And he's going to assemble the parts. He can do that. Is he not awesome? Man, we're walking around a crime scene. Here's a hair. We found a hair. God says, not one of your hairs is going to be lost. He's going to bring it all together. What an awesome God. And then he goes on, chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself. I personally love that. He's not going to have some angel do it. Remember, Moses says, God, we're not going to go across this wilderness. It's scary. God says, I'm going to give you my angel to go with you. And I love Moses. He goes back to God and he says, no, I ain't got to wait in here. We don't want no angel with us. We want you with us. And the Lord says, okay. Isn't that great? Isn't that kind of cute? Come here. Come here, Mo. I'll be with you. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always, that's a long time, be with the Lord. And then chapter 5, verse 9, for this is a great one. Are you awake? Wake your neighbor up. Hey, by the way, if you see somebody sleeping, get my attention. Because how fun would it be in a message like this? While the guy's sleeping, we all just kind of move away. Duck down, and I could yell, and the guy looks. I've always had thoughts about this. I was going to say we could all lay our clothes on the ground and look like we were raptured, but that would not go over big. Or maybe it would go over big. It would not go over good. You guys, 1 Thessalonians 5:9 is amazing, and it is hope that you can take to the bank. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, for he died for us so that whether we wake or sleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Man, we got to start doing that. We need to just start building each other up. Hey, you Christian? I'm a Christian. Hey, you know what? We could go up soon. Yeah, you could go up soon too. Then we could all grow up together. We need to encourage each other. Hey, how's your walk going? It's going good. How's your walk going? We need to get into each other's lives, you guys. Stop being so secretive. See, well, what if they find out we know what I'm really like? Listen, they already know what you're really like. And besides, the greatest thing is this, to know one another. I tell you, there's no greater thing to strengthen and sharpen your Christianity than to get to know brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why serving is so important. Every Christian should be serving. You want to serve. It's the best. It blesses him. Let's keep going. It's a necessity this way, Christian. I love this. This is fun. Because living Christians, when the rapture happens, living Christians have got to be changed. I mean, that is going to be amazing. See, how's it going to work? I have no idea. But we do get the Greek word metamorphosis from it. It's going to happen in a second. Watch this. Less than a second. Now, we got to be changed. If the Lord were to come this week or today, how do we get from here with this body into heaven? I mean, right now, there's astronauts out in space with spacesuits on in a spaceship and a space station. They have to be protected from the elements. Well, the Bible tells us that you and I cannot take these bodies into the presence of God. They won't work. It's like going down in the ocean. You can swim around for a little bit, but how long can you hold your breath? After you lose your breath, something's going to happen. It's not good. You're not built for that world. You and I could go up in a hot air balloon or whatever, or we could go into some plane and we could go, you know, after a while over 10,000 feet without pressurization, you're going to get a little lightheaded. But if I take you up to 15,000 feet without a canopy, you're going to get really lightheaded. And you know, we get up to about 20,000 feet and you are just really messed up. Your blood is really thin. And to take you any higher and you're going to wind up passing out, you'll eventually die. Why? Because you're not made for that world. You and I, though we are believers in Jesus Christ and we're going to heaven, he's forgiven us of our sins. This body as it is, it has to be reconfigured, metamorphosed. Yes, we believe in 100% resurrection, says the Bible, but we've got to be changed. So check this out. Some people argue about the rapture because it demands, they think, that we all have to die. And they'll use the verse, for example, in Hebrews chapter 9, which is a great verse, verse 27. It says, it's appointed unto every man once to die and then comes the judgment. That's what it says, and that's true. But there are some exceptions we already know in Scripture. Number one, you know, remember Enoch? Was anybody Christians back in the 70s in Orange County, Calvary Chapel days when the Jesus movement was going on? Do you remember walking around going like this? Maranatha. Remember that? We had Maranatha bumper stickers. We had Maranatha music. We had Maranatha shirts. And we walked around saying, Maranatha. You know what that word means? Lord cometh. The Lord cometh. He's coming. You know where we got it from? We got it from Enoch. Enoch. Enoch, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, Enoch walked around saying, Maranatha! Can you imagine what his neighbors thought? What a nut. This guy's shouting, the Lord's coming! The Lord's coming! Watch this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken up, he had this testimony. What is it? What is it? That he pleased God. I want to please God. All right then, say Maranatha. He walked around talking, the Lord's coming. In fact, Jude 14 says, now Enoch prophesied thus, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s and thousands of his saints. That pleased God. You say, how does that please God? Enoch lived his life telling people, Lord's coming. Man, you don't need to go to a seminary to figure out how purifying that would be. Can you imagine? Lord's coming. We all know what that's like. I remember growing up. I can hear it in my head. My mom would say, your dad's coming home. You guys, that's not a good thing. Your dad... My mom, she was 4'10". But when she said, just wait till your dad gets home. You know the kind of authority? You know the power that is? That just stopped a brat right in his tracks. Well, can you imagine if you really believe that the Lord could come at any moment? Wow. Can you imagine if Bubbles calls you up tomorrow and says, hey, you want to get together? Want to get a drink? Happy hour. The Lord could come back. Think of that. Some woman flirting you at a stop sign. You need somebody, or you need to remember, the Lord could come back. Can you imagine? The Bible tells us that hope that he could return at any time causes us to walk circumspectly, to walk upright, to be careful. When a temptation comes, up, the Lord could come back. Maranatha! It's a purifying thought, but we've got to be changed. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:50, now this I say unto you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is, we shall not all die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Is that awesome? In a second, less than a second, in a twinkling of an eye, 18,000ths of a second is a twinkling of an eye. And the Bible says it's going to happen to the believer when Christ returns. And Enoch escaped death. The church will escape death at the time of the rapture. Elijah escaped death. He's another guy that didn't die. Elijah saw the coming of the Lord in a flaming chariot and a whirlwind and was taken up into the presence of God, and he never saw death. What an awesome thing that is. There are people today mocking what the Bible teaches about the Lord coming and his imminent return. They mock John chapter 14. They make light of 1 Thessalonians. They make fun of it. They try to rob your joy, and they claim to be Christians. They profess themselves to be Christians. And they say, where is this coming? He's not coming. There are some people who are adhering to the preterist view that they take the scripture and they say, this is spiritualized. This is a spiritualized section. You can't take it literally. Oh, this part about tithing, you got to take that literally. But this part about Jesus returning, you don't have to take that. Unbelievable. That's heresy. It's all over the place. And if you don't, not many of you are just, you're well-taught people and you've been brought up right, and that's awesome. But you go to churches, pastors, churches, certain denominations won't even talk about the Lord's return. What in the world is going on? It's the last days. Now, I'll prove it to you. Next time somebody tells you, man, you know what? You guys believe in Jesus coming back. That's right. Why don't you? I'm not going to believe that silly stuff. That's ridiculous. My grandmother thought Jesus was coming back. And my mom thought Jesus was coming back. Well, you know what? What are you, nuts? You're so much closer now. Listen to Grandma. Just because Grandma said it and it didn't happen doesn't mean Grandma was wrong. Just because, you know what, your mom said it and it didn't happen doesn't mean Mom's wrong. It means, hello, we're this much closer now. Okay, here it is. You guys know this, but mark it down. 2 Peter 3:3. It says, know this first. Don't you love the Bible? So, know this first. When you're going to talk about the end, you better know this first. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking around according to their own lusts, selling books and DVDs, trying to rip people off, saying, there's no rapture. Saying, look at verse 4, saying, where's the promise of his coming? Next time you see someone like that, just shake your hand, you little piece of Bible prophecy, you. Look at you. You're fulfilling the word of God. You're standing right in front of me. You are a piece of prophecy. You're scoffing and scoffing at the Lord's return. And my Bible says right here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, that scoffers will come the last day saying, where's the promise of his coming? Let me shake your hand. You're amazing. Now go ahead. Go. Let me hear some. I want to hear some scoff. Scoff some more. Oh. Go. Keep scoffing. Yes. Oh. Scoff. They're fulfilling scripture. They don't even realize that. Well, I mean, we spiritualize that part. Jude 17 and 18 says, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken of you before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last days. It's right there. They make fun of the Bible. And they tried to make it something that God didn't say. Also this, because dead Christians, not only living Christians get changed at the rapture, but this is kind of fun too. Dead Christians, you know when I talk about dead Christians, I'm talking about their bodies, they're dead. Dead Christians have to be resurrected at the moment the rapture happens. This is going to be fun. I told you guys before, I want to be doing a funeral at that moment. Put the guy on the ground, boom! This is amazing, you guys. The future for the Christian. Look, you and I are alive right now, and our loved ones who knew Jesus, who've died, their bodies are here, but they're with the Lord right now. Imagine, if the rapture happened today, their dead body is going to be resurrected in newness of life. Okay? And then the Bible tells us, we read it a moment ago, that we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet them in the air. Now, look, somebody asked Dr. H.A. Ironside. They said, are we going to recognize one another after the resurrection? And Ironside had a great answer. Now, are we going to know our friends who love Jesus too? And Ironside said, listen, are we going to be dumber in heaven or smarter in heaven? Men, we're going to know believers. We're going to know. The Bible says we're going to know even as we are known. Go figure that out for a while. We're going to be real smart. It's going to be amazing. Okay, you ready for this one? You're going to want to write this verse down. 2 Corinthians 5:8. This is going to sound kind of arrogant. I hope it doesn't. I don't mean it to be. I hope it actually kind of makes you jealous, to be honest with you. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. There's two things about that I want to talk about real quick. Confident. I wonder how many Christians today are confident about the coming of Jesus. Because maybe you're a Christian, but you're living in a world you ought not to be living in. You're doing things you ought not to be doing. And the Lord is saying, stop, come back to me. But what if you're not a Christian today and you're not confident? Maybe there's a near miss accident. Maybe there's an earthquake. Maybe there's some sort of thing that scares you. And you're thinking, uh-oh, boy, I could have met God a moment ago. How would that turn out? You are anything but confident. You know what I'm talking about? Here's the strange thing about us who are Christians. We are very confident. We are confident about meeting him. Paul says, we are confident. In fact, yes, well pleased rather to be present with the Lord. my friend, listen, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But are you a Christian today? Then is that your answer? Your answer is, you know what? I'm living my life. I'm paying my bills. I'm doing my thing. I'm whatever. Good. Keep doing it. The Bible says, occupy till the Lord returns. You keep doing it. But all along the way, are you mindful of the Lord's return? And does it translate into your life this way? Man, if I die, I'm going to Him. Now, I'm a total coward. I'm not big on pain. Okay? I saw my wife give birth. I almost died. And I was just watching. Not big on pain. But death, I'm confident. Man, when it comes time to lay down, are you going to be confident? You're supposed to be confident. Inside your heart and head right now, ask yourself, man, am I confident? Am I just absolutely, totally assured that if I died, I'd meet Jesus today on good terms? You should be. The Bible says these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. You're to know it. Well, Pastor, I don't think that we can know such things. Well, you ought to try reading the Bible. It's pretty amazing. God doesn't want His kids walking about biting their fingernails, worried and saying, you want what I have? It's great being a Christian. We don't know much about nothing. We're kind of terrified all the time. No, man, the Christian ought to be like a lion. The Bible says the righteous are like a lion. It's amazing. And He says, we're even well pleased to be absent from the body. And to be with the Lord. I'm going to kill you. Well, okay. Well, then I'm not going to kill you. Well, then all right. What? Well, then I'm going to strangle you. Strangle away. I mean, think about it. Drives people nuts. I did a funeral one time for a family member, and the family member had just accepted the Lord a couple weeks before they died. So I'm doing the service, and I'm trying to tell the family, my family, I'm trying to tell my family that's in the thing, hey, Brother so-and-so accepted the Lord a couple weeks ago in heaven. I'm going to go see him when this is all over. And I'm full on rejoicing. I offended the whole family. Very few of them ever talked to me since from that funeral because I was so excited. I was so confident. Man, this, come on, you want to come with us? We're going to go. We're coming and come, Jesus, and you need the Lord. And come on, come forward. You want to see Uncle Bill? Come on, come on. So then apparently none of them wanted to see Uncle Bill because they didn't. They're crazy. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then third and final point, it is this. It's that the rapture in your future, my friend, is going to be an experience you'll never forget. I like those kind of events. Man, I'll never forget that one. Remember when that kind of stuff happens? I'll never forget. Well, listen to this. Concerning the rapture, it is going to be awesome. But also keep in mind, it matters on what side of the fence you're on as well. The experience is going to be amazing. Now look, church, we cannot give you much detail about this first consideration, and that is because when the rapture happens, it's going to be an experience that will never be forgotten because it triggers a prophetic time clock. We don't know, nobody knows, if the rapture, for example, happened on Sunday, does that mean the Antichrist shows up on Monday and the false prophet on Tuesday? Listen, we don't know how much time will go between the rapture and the advent of the prophetic events mentioned throughout the Bible. Is it going to be a week, a month, 3 years, 5 years, 10? We don't know. Most scholars agree, though, it won't be long. We just don't know what long is. The rapture happens, and what happens after that, we don't know. I mean, we know what happens. We don't know how soon it happens. Okay? Having said that, we know, though, that God uses events. For example, I'll give you one of modern time. We talked about it a few weeks ago. May 14th, 1948, Israel becomes a nation in one day. It started a prophetic time clock. The events of the Middle East changed in one day as to how things were done there and the motive of things being done there. Changed instantly. When the rapture happens, things are going to change. Now, I'm going to give you a verse, you guys. You're not going to want to miss this verse. I have to confess, it is terrifying. It's a verse that keeps some people awake at night. And honestly, theologically, you can look it up in 1,000 different books. Nobody knows exactly for sure the answer. And I got to tell you, when you read this verse, as I'll read it to you, it looks like the answer's pretty clear. You know what we struggle with? We don't want this answer to be real, to be true. And here it is. Turn in your Bibles. If you're ever going to mark up your Bible, it's now time to mark. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Listen to this carefully. By the way, 1 Thessalonians is about the rapture. Second, like second coming, 2 Thessalonians is about the second coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. He said that 2,000 years ago. There's a plan being unveiled and it ain't good. Only he who now restrains or holds back will do so until he's taken out of the way. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit keeping evil back. He's doing it right now. And then, verse 8, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That is a statement that you can read about in the book of Revelation. When Christ returns, he destroys the Antichrist with one breath. That's going to be fun. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Verse 10, hang on, here it is. And with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing. In other words, Satan is going to mutilate, through the power of the Antichrist, unbelievers in the world after the rapture. Notice, everyone, circle the word because. Because they did not. Past tense in the Greek. They didn't do it when they had the chance. They did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They refused to be saved. They said no at the opportunity to be saved. Verse 11, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. That's the lie of the Antichrist. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. My friends, this is a serious verse. This we know for sure. There seems to be an expiration date on opportunity. Don't hear me wrong. The gospel is eternal. But there's an expiration date, and it shouldn't surprise you. There's an expiration date on opportunity to come to Christ. Listen, do you know anybody who doesn't know Jesus? They may be plugged into a machine right now at the hospital. As long as they're breathing, there's hope. The moment they stop breathing, forget it. It's over. People will, out of emotions, say, Pastor Jack, will you pray for my brother? He died yesterday. Man, I cannot pray for your brother. Your brother's gone. The Bible says to be absent from the body it's appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes the judgment. You can't pray for people who are dead. That's a Catholic myth. It can't happen. It's impossible. They're gone. The gospel is eternal, but the moment for their salvation, the opportunity has expired. This is a very serious issue. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, we implore you, we beg of you, we call out to you as ambassadors with Christ, be reconciled to God. Today's the day of salvation. Make the decision now. You say, don't bother me. You're pushing me. Do you know why we get like this? Because the Lord's coming back. It could happen today. Did somebody invite you here today? I wish they wouldn't have. I understand that. I totally understand that. In a few minutes, just a few minutes, you can just run out of here and go, go, go. Just remember this verse. We want you to come with us because where we're going is awesome, says Jesus. The reason why we call you and leave you verses and email you these little devotional things and put Bible tracts in your sandwich and all the stuff we do is to get you to know that we love you. We want you to come with us. You know what? Tell us then. Just tell us. I don't want God in my life. Leave me alone. You know what we'll do? We'll leave you alone, but we'll fall on our face and keep praying for you. But here's the deal. You're going to say someday, I don't want God in my life. And God's going to hear it. And just like in the days of Noah, he said, my spirit will not always strive with man. God says, that's it. In 120 years, I'm out of here. And God will say to you, you don't want me in your life. I've often said, you've heard me say it, there's one prayer that God answers for every human being on the planet. One prayer God will answer every human being on the planet. When that believer says, Lord, save me. I repent of my sins. I'm coming to you, Jesus. He hears that. And for the non-believer who says, leave me alone. And God says, then I'll answer that prayer. And the Bible says he weeps over the death of the wicked. You say, I'm not wicked. You are wicked if you're fighting against God. You don't have to go that route. You don't have to go that way. And then also this, look at this. Second thought is this. It's an experience you'll never forget, my friend, because listen, the rapture comes suddenly and without warning. The rapture comes suddenly and without warning. Instantly for the believer, and once the believer is out of here in the rapture and the church is gone, who knows what happens to this world. You guys at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, can you go there again? It's vital you have your pen. Get it ready. Verse 16. Follow with me, and I hope you get this. Paul pleaded, and he says today, imagine today him speaking, because this is the eternal word of God. I do not want you to be uninformed, brethren. I want you to know something. You have got to know this, verse 16. Verse 15, now verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend. You say, Jack, you keep saying that. Well, this is the last time I'm going to say it. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. What's the next word? With the voice of the archangel. Can you imagine God shouting? Hey! Or what's he going to say? Let's go! Come up here! Is he going to shout and somehow we'll all hear our own names when he says it? With the voice of an archangel. You don't mess with our archangels. Okay? And the ranking of archangels? Satan, Michael, Gabriel. Those dudes are terrifying. If one showed up here right now, we'd all pass out. You look at Daniel. Daniel said he saw an archangel. He got sick for many days. Can you imagine? Wow. Okay, so the shout, the voice of the archangel with the trumpet of God. Imagine! Yeah. Could have happened. I was honestly hoping, being third service, that the Lord was going to blow his trumpet before we got to our little trumpet. Could have happened. Theologically, according to the Bible, could have happened. Where would you have been? Where do you have been? Think about it. Some people right now are saying, that was cruel, that was mean, I can't believe that. We are confident. It could have been, which leads us to this, my friend. That very verse goes on to say, and the trumpet of God and the dead in Christ will rise first, like some of you jumped a moment ago. The dead in Christ. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Did that trumpet blast excite you and say, oh my gosh, or did it anger you? When we talk about the rapture, we're supposed to be comforted. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. If you cannot say, yes, Lord, come today, Jesus, please come today. If you can't say that, then something's wrong in your life. Something's wrong. See, well, Pastor Jack, I'm going to graduate soon. You know what? You don't need to graduate when you don't live here anymore. But Pastor Jack, right after service, cash for clunker, cash for clunker. You won't need it where you're going. Nordstrom's is having their annual sale. You won't need this when you get there. It's like a husband to be. And I'm back there in the green room with him and the guys. How you guys doing? We're good. How's the groom? He's over there in the corner. Fetal position. And when we pray, I just always include this. Let's pray, you guys. It's about time to get started. We're going to do this service. We're going to do this wedding. Okay, here we go. Father, we just ask you right now, Lord, that you'd bless this. And Lord, even more than that, we pray that you'd come back right now. Just come back right now. And you can hit the groom's like... Just one night. One. Pastor Jack, not now. Listen, the rapture will not be avoided. It'd be a blessing for a believer, and it'd be a disaster for a non-believer. And when that horn went off, that was a ridiculous little horn. We took a trumpet, and we had a recording, and we recorded that, I think, on Friday. What if it was for real? I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now. And you guys, you need to hear this. You finally need to do this in your life. I'm going to ask you right now, as you bow your head and we prepare our hearts for prayer, that you, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please hear this. It means, my friend, that you today are being convinced that you need to follow Jesus Christ. The word is metanoia in Greek. In English, we know the word, it's repent. It means to turn off the path you're on and go to his path. The word means 180, 180 degrees. For those of you who have never embraced Jesus Christ and became a Christian, I want you to know something. To become a Christian does not mean you're becoming a member of a church. It doesn't mean that you adhere to some denomination. Forget all that stuff. The word Christian means one who follows Christ. And you need to do that today. Why? Because you and I are sinners. I've already done it, thus I have confidence. You have not yet done it, thus you're lost. You need to change that today. If you don't change that today, as he reaches out to you, that's your decision. You'll only have you to blame in hell. He wants you in heaven. But you have to come his way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, if you come to me, I will never turn you away. Right now, right where you're at, I'm going to ask you, we're going to sing this song in a moment, but you're going to remain in an attitude of prayer. And I'm just going to ask you to just stop goofing off and follow God. I'm going to ask you this morning, we're going to sing a song here for like a minute or two. And for right now, for those of you who are being convicted right now, you want your sins forgiven, you want your guilt taken away, you want to have confidence in Christ, you want to know if you died today, you'd go to heaven, or if the rapture came, you'd be going up. You want to have your life changed today. I am not going to play games with you. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand right now. You're saying, that's me. Right now, you're saying, I need Jesus. I don't want religion, I want Christ. God bless you. Anyone else? I want Jesus. Couple of hands up front and in the back. I want Jesus. Now listen. As AJ gets ready to sing us, or to lead us in this song, those of you who are raising your hands, Jesus hung on the cross publicly, written in the Bible for all eternity. And he said, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. He said, if you deny me before men, then I will deny you also. My friends, will you express your decision today in Jesus Christ? As we sing this song, will you come forward up here and stand right here? And I want to pray with you. You don't need to do anything but come to Christ. That is repenting of your sins, saying, Lord, I am sorry for my life. And I want you to change my life, Jesus. And I want to receive you. And then I will pray for you. You come up here. You make that decision now. And you come up here and you stand at the base of these stairs. And I'll pray with you in a moment. So come on. Those of you who raised your hands, I know it's nerve-wracking. I know it's terrifying. Remember, Jesus hung on the cross for you. Keeper of the Spirit.